الحمد لله يا رب العالمين. ايوه، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. So, الحمد لله, we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I do apologize. Rushed out today, so I didn't get a chance to get to Iftar. So I feel a little sad, honestly speaking. بخير, الحمد لله رب العالمين. So we'll continue from where we left off yesterday. We spoke about the passing of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the beautiful hadith that Imam Tirmidhi rahimahullah ended the chapter with. If, as a reminder, the hadith was that whoever loses two children when they were before they reached the age of puberty, if they were to lose two innocent children, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guarantee Jannah for that person. Then Aisha radiallahu anha says, what about one child, O Messenger of Allah? And Aisha, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, you asked a very intelligent question. And so he said, even if you lose one child, then Aisha radiallahu anha said, Ya Rasulullah, if they didn't lose any children. And she was really particularly speaking about herself, because she didn't have any children that she lost. So the Prophet ﷺ says, I am the one who went forth for all my ummah, because I am the biggest musibah that my ummah has ever faced. And so when recognizing, understanding that, a person will feel in their heart that, how do I get that connection with the Prophet ﷺ, that I actually feel that I wish I could have seen him, I wish I could have lived with him, I wish I would experience what he had, ﷺ. That's what makes a true mu'min, a true believer, that they think about the Prophet ﷺ so much, and they just think about the time when they can see the Prophet ﷺ. So then you start looking for things that will connect you with the Prophet ﷺ. That's what it is. When you love someone, when you have a Habib in your life, anything that connects you to that Habib, mashallah, you fall in love with that thing. So mashallah, just to give you a brief example, because subhanAllah, it just comes to mind. I just want a person, mashallah, they have just gone recently got married. So subhanAllah, every WhatsApp message says typing and a dot, dot, dot. And subhanAllah, every single time that happens, your heart skips a beat. It's like, oh, mashallah, she's typing again. Oh my God, you feel so happy because why? Because another text message comes. You almost want to write these things on the wall because you love them so much. You know, ajeeb. If this is the love we have for people of this world, what about the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? What love should we have? So that's why Imam Tirmidhi follows up the chapter with saying, the inheritance of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because those things which are connected to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, everyone wants. Those things which are connected to the Prophet, everyone wants. But specifically, the first thing that he talks about in this chapter is something very important. He first talks about the hadith of the Prophet. He first talks about the Prophet actually had after he passed away. What was the inheritance of the Prophet? مَا تَرَكَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ إِلَّا سِلَاحَهُ وَبَغْلَتَهُ وَأَرْضًا جَعَلَهَا صَدَفَةً. The Prophet did not leave anything behind except for his weaponry, a mule that he had, and certain land which he made a sadaqah. This is all the Prophet had at the end of his passing. He didn't have any gold, he didn't have any silver, didn't have any servants, nothing. So little did the Prophet live off of, and so little did he leave behind. Right, this is what the Prophet said. And it's a hadith of the Prophet Inna la nurathu ma tarakna sadaqah. Ma taraknaha sadaqah. The Prophet said that we, as prophets, we don't leave anything behind as inheritance. Whatever leave behind becomes sadaqah for the entire ummah. Why is this the case? Because of two reasons. First and foremost, if a person had a huge inheritance, they mentioned about this. They said, if a person has a huge inheritance, automatically those who are going to inherit from you would wish that you, if you were to pass away, what's going to happen? I could probably inherit from you. So people might even think that if the Prophet ﷺ passes away, that I can receive some of his portion, waliyadu billah. Allah that saved the Prophet ﷺ from this, number one, this musibah. The second thing is what? A prophet does not benefit from the ummah at all. A prophet does not benefit from the ummah at all. The ummah benefits from the prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So that's why the Prophet ﷺ cannot take zakat. His family is not allowed to take zakat because of that specific reason. Because if he were to take zakat, people say, oh, the Prophet ﷺ benefits from this deen then. And similarly, if he were to have a huge inheritance, people say, wow, the Prophet ﷺ had so much dunya. He left behind dunya for the people. This Nabi alayhi sallam is free from this dunya. The Prophet ﷺ told the sahaba, when the Prophet ﷺ got off of his mubarak sleeping from his mat, there was marks on his body. Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu said, oh, Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if you want, we'll lay down something nice for you. You can sleep on it. The sahaba were crying. He said, Messenger of Allah, how could you sleep on such a thing? And then the Prophet ﷺ told Ibn Mas'ud, he told all the sahaba, Mali walid dunya, what do I have with the dunya? What do I care about the dunya? Ma ana wa dunya illa ka raakibin istadalla tahta shajara, thumma raaha fatarakaha. The Prophet ﷺ said, the example of me in the dunya, it's like the example of a person who is traveling and he comes to a tree. So he takes rest under the tree, he gets up and he keeps going. The Prophet says, this is how I am in the dunya. That's why the Prophet, he doesn't have any inheritance to give from the worldly things. So that's why, but obviously, and this is the thing about inheritance, and that's why we tell everyone, don't play around with this masla. I'm telling you, first and foremost, because of why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he made it a fard. The same way salah is fard. The same as zakat is fard. The same way hajj is fard. Every single one of these are fard. Your inheritance is fard like everything else. And the fact that we want that every child will get equal, because that's what we want. Everyone says, oh, my son and my daughter should get equal. That's great that you want it, brother or sister. But that's not what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has written in the Quran. Okay, no matter how much you want it, doesn't mean that's what's written in the Quran. You have to understand that that's the way Allah has written it. Having said that, if you want to have these discussions and talks, talk to your ulama and get this matter resolved before what happens after you pass away. And now all this chaos happens. What do you do with this and this and this and this? And the one who gets the punishment is not the children. The one who gets the punishment is the one in the grave. It's a very, very serious matter. May Allah protect us from that. You think I'm just saying this because why? Because oh, mashallah, wants to give this what happened to the Prophet. Okay? They quarreled, they argued. The Prophet Abbas and Ali radiallahu anhu came to Ali Umar radiallahu anhu, arguing. Okay, remember in the beginning I said the Prophet left the land which he made a sadaqah. That is the exact land they started to argue about. So then Ali and Abbas radiallahu anhu, the uncle of the Prophet and the cousin of the Prophet come to Umar radiallahu anhu arguing. Each one of them saying, he's like this and this and this. He's trying to take my inheritance from me. This person tried to take the inheritance from me because of this land that the Prophet had in the area of Bani Nadir. An area called Fadak, right, in the area of Khaybar. These are lands which the Prophet ﷺ, he received from Allah Ta'ala. Allah gave it to Nabi Sallallahu. What did the Prophet ﷺ use with his wealth? When he was alive, he used to give a little bit for his family from there for the year. And everything else would be for the Ummah. And so the Prophet ﷺ, when he passes away, this land is there. So what does Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu do? He says, I'll use it the same way Nabi Sallallahu used to use it. So then he gives, again, in years worth for the wives of the Prophet ﷺ, and the remaining part for the Ummah. Then Umar radiallahu anhu takes it afterwards. He does the same thing for 2 years. So what happens is, Ali and Abbas radiallahu come and say, that land is ours. You are not exempt of this problem. If the Prophet himself is not exempt from it, we're not exempt from it. So they come and say this. So Umar radiallahu anhu, he's a little tired. Why is he a little tired? Because they did this last year. They had this problem again. In the beginning, when they came and said, oh Umar, this is our land. So the Umar radiallahu quoted the hadith, the Prophet radiallahu said, that whatever we leave behind is sadaqah. No one touches that, right? So Umar radiallahu anhu, he said, now he's in the presence of Talha, Zubair, Abdurrahman bin Auf, Sa'd ibn Waqqas radiallahu anhu. These are all Ashr al-Mubashara Sahaba, high-level Sahaba. They're all there. Umar radiallahu anhu says, I swear by Allah, I ask you all to be witness. Did you all hear the Prophet radiallahu anhu say that whatever the possession of a prophet is after he dies is sadaqah? Did you all hear this hadith? And they all say, yes, we did. Then he goes and says, Abbas and Ali, he says, I ask you all by Allah, do you all swear that you heard this hadith from the Prophet ﷺ that we leave behind a sadaqah? Right? And then they said, yes, Umar radiallahu anhu, we did hear it. Umar radiallahu anhu, then he told him the same thing I told you, that what did the Prophet ﷺ do? What did Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu do? What was he doing? And Umar radiallahu anhu said, right now, I'm actually very tired of doing this with you all. I'll hand the land to you. But you have to promise by Allah, you do exactly what the Prophet ﷺ did with his life during his life. Give a little bit for his family, and thereafter give the rest of sadaqah. And Umar radiallahu anhu said, and if you can't handle it, just come back to me. I'll take care of it for you. Right? This is the way it was during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, during the time of Bakr and Umar radiallahu anhu, with the inheritance of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then the second time it happened was actually with Sayyidatuna Fatima radiallahu anha. She comes to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu and says, she says to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, ma yarisuka, who will inherit after you, Abu Bakr? He said, Ahli wa waladi. He said, my wife and my family, my wife and my children will inherit from me. So Fatima radiallahu anha said, ma li la arisu abi. He said, what? So she said, so what is it for me that I don't inherit from my father? My father, Prophet passed away. Why do I inherit from him? So Abu Bakr radiallahu anha said, Samirtu Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I heard the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say, la nurathu ma tarakna fa wa sadaqa. He said to her very clearly, he said, look, the Prophet said, we don't leave inheritance. Everything leave behind is sadaqah for the ummah. Okay? وَلَكِنْ أَعُولُ عَلَى مَنْ كَانَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ يَعُولُهُ. But he said, oh Fatima, but don't think like that. Whatever Prophet took care of in his life, I will also take care of. Since the Prophet took care of you through this, I will also take care of you. It's not like that. People think when Abu Bakr said such words to Fatima, he's trying to be rude to her. He was not trying to be rude to her. He's trying to tell her that this is revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's from Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's blessed mouth. This is what Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did, and this is what he always had done. Oh Fatima, I'm not trying to disrespect you. People misunderstand this issue. A lot of these strifes that happen all over the world, you know, between this split and that split, because they think that people try to rob Fatima radiallahu anha. La ilaha illallah, first and foremost, our disgust is that how did you think Fatima radiallahu anha was chasing after dunya? This is the first thing we need to criticize. How dare you think a daughter of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Sayyidatu Nisa Ahlul Jannah, the leader of the women of Jannah, who want dunya like that? This is number one. She was just looking for her right.
her miras, his honest inheritance. And after she heard this hadith, did she dispute with Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu? No, she accepted it. So why is it that we are causing a fuss hundreds of years later saying, oh Fatima, why didn't you get this? Why didn't you get this? Why didn't you get this? How dare we think such things after we just explained that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam passed away in the most beloved spot in the lap of Aisha radiallahu anha. He loves Aisha radiallahu anha. He loves Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. You think Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was trying to steal from the daughter of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? May Allah give us understanding and tawfiq. I only mention these things because why? Because you hear a lot of stuff all over the place. And this kid also heard, mashallah. So we don't want anyone, inshallah, to ever think that there is a dispute like that between Sahaba. As soon as she heard the hadith, she accepted it. She didn't know the hadith, now she knows. And thereafter, she accepted it. And so Abu Bakr continued to provide for her. But you know, Fatima radiallahu anha became very weak. She became very weak. Within a matter of 6 months, she passed away after the Prophet had passed away. She could not take the grief and sadness. Now, may Allah give us may Allah raise us with such people. May Allah give us the proper understanding of such people. So now, what we find is, this is not the inheritance you and I were thinking about. You and I were thinking about a different inheritance. If this is not the inheritance of the Prophet ﷺ, if it's not worldly things, what is the inheritance of the Prophet ﷺ? It's only one thing. The Prophet ﷺ left behind one thing as an inheritance. He says it's for the entire ummah to take. It is ilm. Right? And Imam Tirmidhi brings in the most extraordinary chapter in the entire book. It is the most extraordinary chapter. He doesn't bring in the chapter of knowledge. He goes and says, Babu ma ja'a fi ru'ya an-nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the chapter about seeing the Prophet in a dream. And you're like, how is this connected to knowledge? You're thinking in your head. Let's first hear these hadiths first. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Man ra'ani fil manami faqad ra'ani fa inna ash-shaytana la yatamassaru bi. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, whoever has seen me in a dream in his sleep, for indeed he has seen me, because shaitan cannot imitate me. This is such an honor for the ummah that people want to see the Prophet ﷺ. So Allah said, here's a door open for everyone. Shaitan can come in every other form, every other prophet, every other angel, everything in the creation. Shaitan can come in everyone's form, except for Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. It's the only exception Allah has made. Because why? Because the ummah would love to see the Prophet ﷺ. So Allah left his door open, saying that if you want to see him, practice and do ibadah, be as good as a Muslim as you can, you'll see the Prophet ﷺ. And it's the reality. Many hadiths come like this. The Prophet ﷺ said, Man ra'ani fil manam faqad ra'a al-haq. The Prophet ﷺ said, whoever sees me in his dream has seen the truth. There's nothing beyond that. And so that's why you find great scholars like Imam Malik rahimahullah ta'ala, every single night he sees the Prophet ﷺ. Every single night he sees the Prophet ﷺ. He cannot not see the Prophet ﷺ. This is how amazing of a person he was. And this is a blessing and honor for this ummah. And having said that, though, there are a lot of things we want to discuss about it. And it's actually because of this reason. So now, why did Imam Tirmidhi bring it? So another hadith comes from Yazid al-Farisi. Yazid al-Farisi, Yazid comes to Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu. And he says, I saw the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in my dream. Right? So Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu says to him, he says, that's extraordinary. MashaAllah. And he narrates the hadith. He says, shaitan can never come in the form of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he says, can you describe the person you saw in your sleep? Can you describe the person you saw in your sleep? Why did he ask this question? This is the thing, right? Why did he ask this question? If he said, I saw the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then why did he say, describe him for me? Because not every person that sees the Prophet in the dream actually saw the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Right? You have to see him according to the actual description that is brought in the hadith. Or else what? You haven't really seen the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You've seen something else. Shaitan has come in a different form, or waliyadubillah, other things. You've not really seen the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Ibn Abbas, and this is why Imam Tirmidhi brings it, in the opinion of this, some scholars say that if you've not seen the Prophet according to what he described, you've not seen the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And so Ibn Abbas asked him and says, can you describe him for me? And so Yazid goes and says, yes, I'll describe him to you. He was a rajulun bayna rajulain. He was a man between, you know, two men of average height. His body and his flesh was between the colors of white and brownish. And he had beautiful black eyes, and he was endowed with a very beautiful smile and extremely handsome facial features. His face was round, and his beard went from here to there. That's how much he saw him. He was looking at him, and he was able to describe so much of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Many times, even when we see the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in dreams, we can barely describe him. This man has all the features, and he talks about him like so. Yazid rahimahullah ta'ala says this to Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, and there's a man named Auf there, Auf, one of the Sahaba, and he goes and says, La adri. He says, I don't know what you could add as a description about this. This is like the most we've been described about the Prophet ﷺ. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu says, he said, I swear, if you have seen him in his wakefulness, you probably could not describe him better than that. You probably could not have described him better than that. That's how well he saw him, Yazid rahimahullah ta'ala. And so why does Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, why does he say such things? Why does Imam Tirmidhi bring this as a chapter after the inheritance of the Prophet ﷺ? Because of all these reasons we put together, You cannot know the Prophet unless you learned about the Prophet. You cannot know how he looks in your dream properly unless you learn the knowledge about how he looks in his dream properly. You cannot know if you saw the Prophet in your dream or not unless you studied the Shama'il of the Prophet. Imam Tirmidhi basically is telling you at the end of his book, congratulations, after you read my book, you have a certificate now. If you see the Prophet in your dream, you'll know that was him. This is the idea of having knowledge. The blessing of knowledge, the true inheritance of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So we've seen people that would come. Just the other day, someone came to me with a dream and they said that I saw myself reciting in Salah, Suratul Lahab and then Suratul Nasr. Suratul Lahab and then Suratul Nasr. What is the order of the Quran? You should recite Suratul Nasr first and then Suratul Lahab. So I told them that there's something wrong with something you're doing in terms of dini things. Your order is not right. You're messing up something. Maybe you're doing something in your salah which is not correct. I said that maybe you're even leading salah and your salah is not correct the way you're leading people. So you have to correct that. Another person that came to me and said, I saw the Prophet ﷺ, but he was wearing a suit and tie. And I saw him with a snake wrapped around him. I said, Subhanallah, what a terrible dream you just saw. It's just telling you it's a big sign from Allah Ta'ala that something in your life is so not correct. Even Nabi ﷺ coming in your dream will not come in the right libas. You have to change your clothing, I said. You have to change your attitude because your attitude is not correct. There's something completely wrong. So people will see things about the Prophet which are not correct according to the Prophet the way he came in the sifat. So that means you know there's a sign from Allah that something is not right. And this is all because why? Because we have knowledge. And that's why Imam Tirmidhi rahimahullah ta'ala ends his book with two important narrations. First and foremost, he says about Abdullah ibn Mubarak, the great tabi'i, the one of the greatest of all tabi'in. He goes and says, إِذَا ابْتُلِيتَ بِالْقَضَى فَعَلَيْكَ بِالْأَثَرِ. Ibn Abdullah ibn Mubarak rahimahullah says, when you are tested with judging between people, if you have to judge between people, فَعَلَيْكَ بِالْأَثَرِ, you must use hadith. You must use whatever you learn from Quran and Sunnah. When people come to you for a decision, for knowledge, for anything, you must tell them what the Quran and Sunnah say. Because you cannot say it better than Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. A person, they had a house ta'aleem. A woman had a house ta'aleem. And she would tell the sister there that came from Masturat, she said, give bayan. Let's not read hadith. She said, let's give bayan. Don't read hadith. Because, and they used the tartib, the order is what? You go and read hadith in every morning. So she was like, no, you know, hadith don't really have that impact. If you give bayan, it's more effective. Next day comes. She goes and says, let's all read hadith. Let's not give bayan. It's better to read hadith, you know, read them, open up the books and read them. Then they asked us, like, what happened? What is the change? She said, I spoke to you like this yesterday. And at nighttime, I saw the Prophet come in my dream. The Prophet came to me in my dream. And then he came to me and he said, how dare you think that anyone's words are better than mine? SubhanAllah. She said, from that moment, I knew for a fact that I was doing the wrong thing. And she said, let's read hadith. People do that all the time. They say, oh, just hadith. SubhanAllah, the ulama only receive nasiha because of hadith. We listen to one hadith, we take out like 50 different meanings and lessons and things like that. One ayah of Quran is enough to drive us for a lifetime. Because why? Because that one ayah of the Quran has so much behind it. We are not in tune with the words of the Prophet. That's what it is. Remember I told in the beginning that typing, any word you saw, you put it onto the wall because you love that person so much. Any words of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam we love so much. So what? We'll just tell you what the Prophet said. Because I can't tell you anything better than the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Abdullah ibn Mubarak rahimahullah ta'ala says this, that look, if you have to decide between people, make sure you use the hadith of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Don't look at anything else. And then he finishes his book with an amazing narration. Inna hadil hadith ilmun. It's from Abdullah Muhammad ibn Sirin rahimahullah. Muhammad ibn Sirin rahimahullah says, surely this tradition, this hadith is deen. Fanzur amman ta'khudhuna deenakum. So be very careful about who you take your deen from. Be extremely careful. If you knew that this person did not finish med school and he did not completely finish his studies, forget about it, he didn't even do his MCATs properly, then how dare you even go to him and say, what medicine should I take? I'm having this and this symptoms. He will recommend a medication to you, you'll die the next day. SubhanAllah, you're thinking, wow, what a terrible example is that. Ajeeb example. SubhanAllah, we put people on the minbar. You know? So many people that will poison people's deen completely. We'll tell them that, okay, it's okay for institutions to take zakat. It's okay for this madrasa to take, you know, things like that. They will go up there, yeah, it's completely halal for this. Yeah, machine salah is fine. Yeah, this isn't this. They'll tell you so many things from the minbar. And then you're like, man, why did I put this person up there? Now we just poisoned everyone else's deen. Or even worse than that, what? There's that one YouTube sheikh. The one YouTube sheikh who will tell you what? Always women's rights. And I don't mean to offend. I just want to be real here. Always about the wife's rights. The wife gets this. The wife doesn't have to do this. No cooking, no cleaning, nothing. She doesn't have to do nothing. No problem. That's great. I said, that's fantastic, mashallah. It's telling you so many things about a woman will get. Can you just let me know what a husband will get? Can you just let me know? Is Bichara supposed to stay home doing nothing? Like, he's just supposed to be working. What are his rights? I challenge everyone. Go on YouTube. Find any sheikh on YouTube. One time just to talk about what a man gets. And I don't mean to be offensive to what women get. I know everyone has struggles. But trust me, the man has struggles too. There are only two things a man really needs in his life. If he gets two things, and both of them start with an F, which I can't really say in front of kids right now, if you get my point. Okay? One is food, and the other one, you got my point. Okay? So if the man gets such things, mashallah, their life gets corrected. But what happens, a woman doesn't even know what a man needs, or a husband will need, and all these different things. These are things that we need to think about. So this narration at the end, Imam Tirmidhi rahimahullah ends his book with this, because why? He says this hadith is deen. Be careful who you're taking it from. If you're taking it from someone who studied in university, you get the university flair. If you're getting someone who's an engineer, you're going to get his engineer flair. But maybe you'll study from an alim who tries his entire life to resemble the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that he works to try it. He lives his life on taqwa and Islam. His entire life is focused on it. So obviously it will have an impact on people's hearts. It will have an impact. But if you study from such and such and such and such and such and such, you won't leave with anything at all. You leave with even getting misguided, waliyadhu billah. May Allah protect us from such things. Imam Tirmidhi, he says at the end of his book, he says, this is not the end of your studies. The Shama'il is not the end. This is just the beginning. Now go and find that alim. Sit with them. Learn from them. Ask them to open another book. I want to learn more hadith now. I want you to teach me more about my deen. Look, mashallah, in this couple small little session that we have, maybe 20 minutes or so, every single for 5 years, mashallah, we're able to complete a book of hadith, mashallah, which you study in the final year of alim course. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. In 5 years, mashallah, is able to be done. And I want you to know, mashallah, that we're always available to do this over and over and over again. Because why? Because in this time, Allah's mercy comes down. Allah's blessings come down. People's problems get solved. We're going to make dua for Brother Ahmad Mabruk, who's in the hospital right now. And I hope, inshallah, from our dua, Allah gives him shifa. Because why? Because he's on the ventilator right now. I'm very worried about him, honestly speaking. Allah gives shifa through these gatherings. Our hearts get cured. Our hearts get trained. Our brains get cured. Our brains get trained because of these gatherings. So we need more of these things. Imam Tirmidhi tells you, he says, go and find hadith now and study and study and study and study until you die, inshallah. And if you cannot study, at least find those people that teach deen and say, ya Allah, I'm going to give my life to support these people. Because they have the inheritance of the Prophet. And if you love the Prophet, what do you do? Anything connected to the Prophet, you love that person as well. If this person has a sanad to Nabi alayhi salatu salam, then you say, ya Allah, my entire life is for this person. Because why? And that's what we do. You're thinking that I'm speaking because I want you all to support me or something like that. I'm telling you about my own teachers, Mufti Ramin Sahib, Rahimul Damat Barakatuhum. He has 23 people to him and the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. You know, such an amazing person, mashallah. You see him, you know, back in 2010, I come to see him in his little room. Mashallah, he's teaching Urdu, Kipahli Kitab, to like, you know, mashallah, he's a great muhaddis, studied on the great muhaddisin. He can teach any book and any part of alim, any book at all, he can teach it. He's teaching the first book on how do you read Urdu properly. You know, this is how he is. You know, may Allah have mercy on him and continue to increase him, mashallah. But look at these people that remind you of Allah Ta'ala and say, you know what, I need to support them. Because they have something that connects to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and I want to be connected to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Connect yourselves with those who are connected. If they have a sanad, then you need to also get connected to that sanad as well. On the day of judgment, the ulama, if a hafiz takes 10 people with him to Jannah, the alim in the books of narrations, they say, an alim will take a village with them, a city with them, the entire city which they were concerned about. Allah says on the day of judgment, he honors them and says, you can take the entire city with you to Jannah. May Allah grant us that, inshallah. May Allah allow us to make our children to ulama. May Allah allow us that we all connect ourselves in the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. I ask Jazakallah khairan to everyone, mashallah, that mashallah you spent this entire 5 years with us to finish this line. I think this has been the most enjoyable trip for myself. People generally, they know a lot. Many people don't come for these gatherings, but it's okay. Because why? Because we're here to love the Prophet. We could do this with even one person. I think one time we only had like two people, right? MashaAllah, but it's completely fine. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. I thank everyone, inshallah. May Allah increase in love for the Prophet. Please make dua that inshallah next year comes, we can start other books as well, and we can continue to increase our knowledge and our love for the Prophet. We ask Allah Ta'ala, Ya Rabbil Alameen, Allah Ta'ala, from this gathering, grant shifa to all those who are sick, Ya Allah. Alhamdulillah, Ya Khassan, and our brother Ahmad Madbrook, Ya Rabbil Alameen. We ask Allah Ta'ala that from all our problems, Ya Allah, from this gathering that we talked about, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Allah Ta'ala, please, Ya Allah, give us all the solutions to our problems, Ya Allah. Alhamdulillah, we ask Ya Rabbil Alameen, Ya Allah, that you give our parents who passed away, Jannatul Firdaws, Ya Allah, from the barak of studying Shema'il, Ya Allah. Allah, such a Mubarak accepted book, Ya Rabbal Alameen. Ya Allah, that after Imam Tirmidhi passed away, Allah, we're still studying his book, Ya Allah. So much acceptance in his book, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, when our ulama finish their books, Ya Allah, Ya Allah, they make dua to you, Ya Allah. And because you love the ulama that wrote these books, Ya Allah, you accepted the duas, Ya Allah. We make dua, Ya Allah, you give afi, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you forgive our sins, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, we're so gunagari, Ya Allah, we have no right to even read these hadiths, Ya Allah. We waste our time, we waste our lives, Ya Allah. We've done nothing in our lives, Ya Rahman Rahimeen. Ya Allah, what will we stand in front of you with, Ya Allah? Ya Rahman Rahimeen, what will we go to you with, Ya Allah? Ya Rahman Rahimeen, please, Ya Allah, we're drowning in our sins, Ya Allah. Ya Rahman Rahimeen, please drown us in your mercy, Ya Allah. Drown us in your tawbah, Ya Allah. Drown us in your forgiveness, Ya Allah. Ya Rahman Rahimeen, Ya Allah, we ask you for all of our grandparents who passed away, Ya Allah. Grant them gentle fidos, Ya Allah. All of our family members who passed away, Ya Allah. All the members of this community that passed away, Ya Allah. Those who paved the way to make this masjid beautiful, Ya Allah. All the volunteers and all the helpers, Ya Allah. All the participants and all the Muslims, Ya Allah. Ya Rahman Rahimeen. Anyone step foot in this masjid, Ya Allah. Please grant them gentle to those. Ya Rahman Rahimeen. Ya Rabbul Alameen, Ya Allah. We ask you, Ya Allah, that you made us, you allowed us to study the Shema'al, Ya Allah. Such a blessing you gave upon us, Ya Allah. Please, Ya Allah, give us more tawfiq to study more, Ya Allah. Connect ourselves more, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, allow us to find these gatherings of deen, Ya Allah, and connect ourselves to Ya Allah. Ya Allah, we're in times, Ya Allah, and life is so difficult, Ya Allah. Even Makkah Medina are not safe anymore, Ya Allah. Please, Ya Allah, restore Haramain Sharifain to his beauty, Ya Allah. Please, restore Haramain Sharifain to his beauty, Ya Allah. Allow us to go for Umrah and Hajj, Ya Allah. Bring us back, Ya Rabbul Alameen. Ya Allah, we're talking about Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam so far away from us, Ya Allah. Both in time, Ya Rahman Rahimin, and space, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, we ask you, Allah, to let us go see the qabr of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Ya Rabbul Alameen. Ya Allah, to give our salam directly to him, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, we love Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam so much, Ya Allah, from the bottom of our hearts, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, we take so much, Ya Allah, because why? Because we want to stand with the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Ya Allah. Ya Rahman Rahimin, 1400 years later, Ya Allah, we're practicing the sunnah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Ya Allah. In a country, Ya Allah, that has no Islam anywhere, Ya Allah. Ya Rahman Rahimin, Ya Allah, we're trying our best, Ya Allah, to save our children, Ya Allah, and our grandchildren, Ya Allah. In the area of Kufr, Ya Rahman Rahimin, we love the Prophet so much, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, we want that everyone love the Prophet too, Ya Allah, Rabbul Alameen. People speak bad about the Prophet, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, please silence their tongues, Ya Allah. Our hearts hurt so much, Ya Allah, but because the Prophet smiled, we smile too, Ya Allah. Please, Ya Rahman Rahimin, you only know the pain of our hearts, Ya Allah. The difficulty we go through, Ya Allah, for deen, Ya Allah. Please, Ya Allah, allow us to practice deen, Ya Allah, and spread deen, Ya Allah, Rabbi Alameen. Ya Allah, we feel ashamed, Ya Allah. What will we stand in the day of judgment? We say we want to be with Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, but what do we have, Ya Allah? Please, Ya Allah, from your mercy, Ya Allah, on the day of judgment, put us next to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Ya Rabbi Alameen. Next Abu Bakr, radiallahu anhu, Umar, radiallahu anhu, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, we talk about them, we talked about them so much as if we can look at them, Ya Allah. Please let us see them in the day of judgment, Ya Allah. Give us dreams and let us see the Prophet as well, Ya Allah. Allow us to make our iman strong, Ya Allah, so we can wake up for Fajr, Ya Allah. We can do ibadah, Ya Allah. Ya Rahman Rahimin, we ask you, Ya Rabbul Alameen, in these difficult times, Ya Allah, you grant us iman like the Sahaba, radiallahu anhu, Ya Rabbul Alameen. Ya Allah, we ask you to put us in Jannah Firdaus wa Habib Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Allah. It is a big dua from us, Ya Allah. But it's an easy answer from you, Allah. Whatever you say happens, Ya Allah. All you have to say is kun fayakun, Ya Rabbul Alameen. Ya Rabbul Alameen, please, Ya Allah, for anything that a person needs in this gathering, Ya Allah, fulfill it, Ya Rahman Rahimeen. Fulfill it to the halal means, Ya Rabbul Alameen. Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka antas samiur adeem. Wa tub alayna ya maulana innaka antat tawwabur rahim. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun. Wa salamun ala al-mursaleen. Alhamdulillah.